Tonight I'd like to call your attention to a scripture that's been on my mind today. I thought about preaching on it some in Atlanta, but never did get around to it. But it's found in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 7. This is one of the Beatitudes that Jesus Christ gives to the people in the mountain. This is the beginning of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. It covers three chapters. But in verse 7 of this wonderful sermon, Jesus made this statement: "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." What a beautiful thought that is. Now, the word blessed means happy. You can be happy in this life if you have the right attitude. An attitude is something we choose.
That's right.
And I want to be happy. What about y'all?
Yes, sir.
But to be happy, you're going to have to do what Jesus said do. He's got the recipe for happiness. I read a while back that somebody said money can't buy happiness. No, money is not the key to happiness. But if you got enough money, you can pay somebody to make you a key. Well, that's just not true, folks. Money can't buy happiness. Fame can't buy it. But if we'll do what Jesus said, we'll be happy in this life. So, in verse 7, Jesus said, "Blessed or happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In other words, if you are merciful to other people, then you will receive mercy. You sow mercy, you reap mercy.
That's right.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. And I know all of you are sinners and you need a lot of mercy. I do. I believe that's why the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. Because we probably use up today's supply. There's very little left over with most of us. We need mercy in our lives. And if you want to obtain mercy, you need to learn to be merciful to other people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, what is it to be merciful to somebody? Well, it means to be tender-hearted. When you are merciful towards somebody, you are willing to overlook injuries that you have received from them. You really treat the offender better than he deserves.
That's right.
You're not willing to carry out the law to the fullest extent. That's what mercy is. Mercy tempers justice. And when you and I are being merciful to people, we're not trying to inflict on them everything that the law demands of them. How many of y'all want God to treat you according to what you deserve?
Mm-hmm. Not me.
How many of y'all would like for God to really give you what you deserve?
Mm.
Mercy means that you don't get what you deserve. That's God is merciful. And you and I ought to treat others with great mercy. Mercy is being compassionate towards somebody. It's loving kindness. I think that's a good synonym for mercy. Loving kindness. That's a beautiful word, is loving kindness. Love and kindness together. Love, loving kindness. Only sinners need mercy. Perfect people don't need any mercy. But since we're all sinners, we need mercy. We need a lot of mercy. And if you want to obtain mercy, you need to learn to be merciful to others. That's what I believe Jesus is teaching us in this lesson. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. One of the greatest and most popular passages in all the Bible, Psalm 23, ends with this expression, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that a wonderful thought, that the goodness and the mercy of God is following us? God's goodness and mercy doesn't lead us everywhere we go, but it follows us. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In Psalm 86, David said that God is plenteous in mercy. What if y'all got the news tonight that God's mercy was going to run out in the next 5 days? There wouldn't be any more mercy. That would be alarming, wouldn't it?
Yes, yeah.
But the Bible says that God is plenteous in mercy. In Ephesians 2, Paul says that God is rich in mercy. That is, He's not going to run out. No matter how much mercy God has to bestow on us, He's still just as rich in mercy as He ever was. Our God is rich in mercy. I want to notice with you tonight a passage of Scripture in Paul's letter to the Philippians. I think this is a very practical example of God having mercy. Look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 27. Paul is talking about, we'll go back to verse 25. "Yet I supposed it necessary," now he's writing to the church at Philippi and talking to them about a preacher named Epaphroditus. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." In other words, Epaphroditus was sick, and the church at Philippi had gotten that news, and they were very sad, and Epaphroditus was heavy-hearted because they had gotten the news that he was sick, and that news had burdened them. Then Paul says in verse 27, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death." Now that was a serious illness. "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him." When we pray for the sick, and I want to tell you, beloved, that's not a light, insignificant part of church. When the pastor reads out a prayer list, people who have contacted the church and said, "I want you to pray for me," we ought to take that prayer request seriously. And we don't have to give all the details of every sickness. Just name their name and let the people know that they're in need of prayer. God knows all the details. But what are you begging for when you're praying for the sick? You're asking God to be merciful to them. And that's what Paul said God did toward Epaphroditus. "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Paul loved Epaphroditus, and God had mercy on Epaphroditus and spared his life And at the same time, he had mercy on Paul. Because Paul said, if anything had happened to Epaphroditus, I would have sorrow on top of sorrow. And so God had been merciful. You know, when Amanda and John's twins came so early, and they had to be in the hospital, and we didn't know. You know, that was a stressful 2 days there in Macon at the hospital. And I can tell you, a lot of us were begging God for mercy. We don't deserve the favor of God, the blessings of God. We can't go to God and say, now, God, you owe me. I deserve this. You can't pray like that. I'd be scared to pray like that. But we were all begging for God to be merciful. And thank God he was. And if he hadn't been, we'd have had sorrow on top of sorrow. Mercy from God. We beg for it on a daily basis. I need his mercy on a daily basis. And I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, that we do serve a God of mercy. Now, I want to notice with you in Hebrews chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is teaching us there how where we need to go for mercy. He says in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. You and I are going to heaven by grace. We've got a home waiting for us in heaven, and it's been given to us by God's grace. God is giving us what we do not deserve. Now there is a hell, a wrath to come, and that's what we deserve. But we're not going to get what we deserve because of God's mercy. Do y'all see that? Do you see the difference in mercy and grace? One time, Napoleon Bonaparte, the great leader of France, a military genius, had a man in his army, a soldier in his army, to leave the army. He just deserted the army. Napoleon didn't become a great military leader through deserters. He had a strict discipline in his army. And anybody who deserted his army was immediately executed if caught. Well, this young man's father died, and he got word that his mother was destitute, and so he deserted the army so he could go back and wait on his mother. Well, he was caught and brought to trial, and the mother went before Napoleon and pleaded for mercy. You can just picture that in your mind. And Napoleon said, "Woman, he doesn't deserve mercy." And you know what her reply was? If he deserved it, he wouldn't need it. She just acknowledged that her son had done wrong. He had deserted the army. But she was pleading for mercy. Now, I can't tell you the rest of that story because I don't know how it turned out. But if I'd have been Napoleon, I believe I'd have had to let the boy live with such a pleading as that from his loving mother. Mercy is something that we don't deserve. And all I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, you're a happy person in this life if you've learned to be merciful. If you've learned to just let things go, get over your hurts and your wounds, and don't get bitter, and don't get angry, and don't try to get even. and pray for your enemies. You can be happy that way, but you show me a bitter person tonight. You show me somebody that's planning and plotting to get even, and I'll show you somebody that's unhappy.
Right.
They're miserable.
Right.
Trying to get back at somebody is like drinking a glass of poison expecting the other fellow to die. I don't want to spend my life on this earth angry, upset, and full of vengeance toward anybody. And Jesus tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So our Lord tells us where to go for mercy. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How can we come boldly to the throne of grace as sinners, knowing that we don't deserve grace or mercy? Because there's somebody on that throne that loves us with an everlasting love. There's somebody on that throne that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Aren't y'all glad tonight that our God is a compassionate God? And Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to this earth and lived in a human body. And He knows the struggles and trials of our human pilgrimage. And today, we have a high priest in heaven who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So now Paul says, let us therefore. Why can we come to this throne of grace? Because Jesus is on the throne and He's a God of mercy and compassion. Let us therefore come boldly. That word boldly doesn't mean that you come arrogantly.
No.
It doesn't mean that you come demanding. It means that you can come with total confidence because Jesus is on that throne. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of law. No. To the law, to the throne of justice? No. To the throne of grace. Grace is on the throne tonight, and it's reigning grace. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. The grace of God is reigning tonight. And so we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm so glad that God is a God of mercy. You may say, well, Brother Sam, I remember a time when I asked God to be merciful and to spare a loved one, and He didn't have mercy on me. Well, beloved, you can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out all the tragedies of this world. You'll end up confused, and the devil loves it when you get into that state of mind. But I'll tell you what, if we can look back over, as Elder Darty used to say, the checkered and meandering scenes of our earthly pilgrimage, and see how many times God has had mercy on us, we wouldn't complain about the one or two times that He didn't grant us what we asked for. Oh, brethren and sisters, you and I are trophies of His mercy tonight. That's a fact. He's a God of mercy. And you and I have been granted mercy through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how we ought to praise Him and thank Him for that in this present world. Now you say, well, Brother Sam, what does it mean to be merciful to somebody? Well, first of all, when you're merciful to somebody, you're patient with them. How many of y'all have all the patience that you need tonight? How many of y'all struggle with impatience? You don't have to raise your hand. I know every one of you do. You're human beings. But when you learn to be merciful, you learn to be patient with people and long-suffering with people. You know, I like Walmart. I know there's people who don't like Walmart, and I'm running the risk tonight saying I like Walmart. But they've saved me a lot of money. So I like Walmart. It's convenient. It's 1 4 miles from my house. I tell all my overnight company, if you need anything in the night, Walmart is just 4 miles down the road. But I tell you, sometimes you can go to Walmart and the lines are so long. And you will get one of those cashiers, and they're training them. And they don't know what they're doing. And the line just backs up and backs up. And finally you get up there to the register, and they run out of tape. And you're already an hour late. Now what are you going to do in a situation like that? I'll tell you what you ought to do if you're a child of God and you're living like you ought to. You ought to have a lot of mercy on that cashier. You don't know what they've been through that day. You don't know the trials and the tribulations that they may have faced before they got there that day. Before you get too aggravated with people, you need to find out what's been going on in their life. They may have OCD. You know, there's people with obsessive compulsive behavior in our world. I mean, they got it. I know some folks that have got it. And you try to deal with them. You've got to learn to be patient with those folks. They got a disorder. ADD. You know, you've heard of that. I think that's what they call it. I think I had that. Is that attention deficit disorder? We got people in the church with that. You can't hold their attention in 10 minutes. Now, a pastor needs to be merciful with people like that.
Yeah.
I get aggravated sometimes with people that look like they're just staring into space, and I'm up here pouring my heart out trying to teach the Word of God, and they're not in touch, they're not focused. But I need to be merciful to them. I don't know what they've been through before they got to church. A lot of people have a lot of struggles trying to get to the house of God.
Yeah.
And a preacher needs to be merciful. And you need to be merciful to the preacher, because he may be struggling, he may be in the dark, he may be wore out. A tired preacher is a dangerous preacher, no telling what he'll say. And you have to be merciful to preachers. We need a lot of mercy to have good meetings. Don't y'all agree with that today? We need to be merciful to one another. I tell you what, brethren and sisters, we need to be patient with one another in the church family. If we'd be merciful to one another in our church family, we just wouldn't have so many run-ins and hurt feelings and all of that. Just learn to be patient and long-suffering in the house of God. And then you need to be merciful to those that have fallen into sin. And they realize that they've fallen into sin, and they're ashamed of it, and they're trying to repent of it. Be merciful to that individual. God didn't make us the judge and the jury. The Bible teaches us to be merciful. That is, to be long-suffering to that individual that has fallen into willful sin. And now they've come to their senses and they realize they've played the fool and they have done wrong and they're sorry and they're shameful. You and I, as God's children in the church, should extend mercy to that individual. You know, I don't ever want to become a Pharisee. I want to live by the Word of God, and I want us to conduct the house of God according to the Word of God, but I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to have my nose so high up in the air with arrogance and pride that I would drown in a drizzle. Yeah. Have you ever seen people like that? They stand so straight, it looks like they swallowed a curtain rod. They don't bend for nothing or nobody. It's my way or the highway. Now you get somebody like that in the church, and I'm telling you, you're headed for heartache and trouble, brethren and sisters. Now somebody that's just full of rebellion and bringing reproach on the house of God, and they won't repent, I understand that the Word of God teaches us we have to deal with that individual. But Paul said to the Galatians, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, how important it is for us in the house of God to learn to be merciful to the fallen. And instead of destroying them, try to restore them. You know what discipline is? Discipline is not something you do to somebody. It's something you do for somebody.
Amen.
Parents discipline their children. Is that just something they do to the child? If so, it's punishment. It's not discipline. But if you're doing it for the child, that's discipline. You're doing that to train that child and mold that child so that that child can grow up a responsible adult in our culture. And I want to tell you, children that have been disciplined and loved owe a lot to their mamas and daddies. It must not be full of vindictiveness in the house of the living God and try to be long-suffering toward those that have fallen by the wayside. Yes, sir, it's so much easier to criticize than to sympathize with people. But you know, if we'll get real honest with ourselves and examine our own selves, we understand that we ought to be there to try to help those that have fallen by the wayside if they won't help. Now, if they don't want any help, you can't help them. You can't help people that don't want any help. I've wasted some of my life trying to do that. But if they're coming back and showing true repentance, oh, what a blessing it is to be merciful to that individual. Another evidence of a merciful person is when you help those that are hurting. You remember in the Bible tells us about the parable of the man who left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. And as he was on the road to Jericho, he fell in among thieves. And these thieves robbed him, and they beat him, and they left him half dead. And a priest and a Levite came by, men of the church, and they saw him, and they didn't stop to help. And then a good Samaritan came along, half-breed, half-Jew and half-Gentile, looked down on by the priest and Levite, no doubt. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees this man lying there by the side of the road, and he stops. And he binds up his wounds, and he pours oil in his wounds, and he puts him on his beast, and carries him to the inn, gets him a room in the motel, and he pays the bill, and he tells the innkeeper, if there's anything owing, I'll pay it when I come back. That's mercy, brethren and sisters. You know, there's three kinds of people in that parable. There's the thieves, and their attitude is, what's yours is mine if I can get it. And we do have thieves in our world. I hate to be robbed. I remember one time years ago, we were in Philadelphia, and I parked our van right across from Benjamin Franklin's grave. I thought, it'll be safe here. I don't know why I thought that. I know Ben couldn't do us any good, but I thought, well, you know, surely nobody would steal anything right here in the presence of Ben Franklin's grave. But when we came back to our van, somebody had knocked the window out, stolen our luggage, got our camera. I won't ever forget Amanda Gray.
5'2".
She was about 6 years of age at that time. She just couldn't believe anybody would do that to us. She stomped her feet. She's a lot like my mama was, you know. She was a fiery young lady. Well, I was upset. Have you ever been robbed? I tell you, you feel so violated. It's an awful thing. Well, these thieves, their attitude was, what is yours is mine if I can get it. And there are thieves in this world tonight. Now here is the priest and the Levite. They weren't thieves. But their attitude was, what is mine, and you can't have any of it. Now how many does that represent tonight? That represents a lot of people in our world. They wouldn't take a dime that belongs to you, but they don't want to give you a dime they've got. It's every man for himself. But here's the Samaritan. And he looks on a total stranger. And he says, what's mine is yours if you need it. He had mercy. Mercy on a total stranger. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." What a beautiful picture of mercy that is. Now I want to come quickly to a close tonight. And I want to keep my word there. I don't want to, you know, we have church at Vestavia every morning. We have lunch every Sunday, and we have an afternoon service at 1:30. We don't have a community church. We have a commuter church. People drive in, some of them 60, 70, 80 miles. So when we get there, we just stay all day long. Well, at least till 3 o'clock. And it's rough on the children, I'll tell you. And I was preaching away here the one Sunday afternoon, and this little boy was sitting with his grandmother. And I said something about quitting, but I didn't. And he turned to his grandmother. His eyes were as big as saucers, she said. And he said, "Grandmother, Brother Sammy said he was going to quit, and he's still preaching." So I tried to not promise that I was going to quit and not quit. So I want to try to bring this to a close tonight. But I want to look with you over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 33. Jesus says, "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think ye have? What thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again." Now, I got some growing to do in that area. If I loan somebody something, I expect them to pay it back. So I got room to grow here. What about anybody else can witness with me tonight in that area? But Jesus said, "Love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again." Now, I have loaned out a good bit and didn't get any back. But you're slow to loan them anymore. But anyway, Jesus said this, "And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." God is He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." That's pretty plain language, isn't it? Oh, beloved friends, may God help us tonight to grow in our extending mercy to other people in this life. And let's just... you say, "Brother Sam, that's hard to do." No, it's impossible to be a merciful person in the flesh. The flesh is not going to be merciful. The flesh wants vengeance. But in the Spirit of the living God, you and I can crucify the flesh and extend mercy to those that don't deserve it, and thereby be happy people on this earth. I saw a movie one time, and it had a scene in it that made me want to stand up and clap. This truck driver was at a truck stop having his lunch. And a motorcycle gang rode up, about 20 of them, and they parked their motorcycles outside and went in. And this truck driver was sitting where this motorcycle gang leader wanted to sit, and he asked him to get up and move. And the truck driver said, "Well, I will as soon as I finish my meal." So the motorcycle guy picked his glass of tea up and poured it all over his food, and he said, "I guess you're through now." So he just quietly got up and paid his bill and left. And one of the motorcycle gang said, "Well, that wasn't much of a man, was it?" And the waitress said, "Well, he's not much of a truck driver." Said he just backed over 20 motorcycles. Now, say, I just wanted to stand up and clap. But you know, that didn't settle a thing in this world. You think that settled anything? Not a thing in the world. You see, when it's an eye for an eye, it won't be long before we'll all be blind.
That's right.
Jesus said, "Turn the other cheek." You can do that by the grace of God.
Amen.
You can walk that extra mile. You can pray for your enemies. That's a happy life, folks. Now, we don't have very many happy people in America. It was pointed out today in the meeting that doctors are talking about an epidemic of depression in America. That's incredible. I mean, an epidemic of depression in the richest nation in the world.
Right. I wouldn't
be surprised. One thing I noticed a lot when I was in East Africa was how content so many of the people are. They live in abject poverty, crushing poverty, rampant disease. You just can't imagine what a third world is like unless you've been there. And yet, the people did not seem to have sad, lonely faces. I see a lot of that in America. You go to the malls and just watch. There's a lot of depression in this. Why? Why are people happy? Because I can tell you, a lot of them going around half mad, planning how they can get back at somebody somehow, some way. Did you know the Bible says vengeance belongs to who? To God. If somebody has wronged you and they don't make it right, God will take care of them. And if God decides to have mercy on them, you ought to rejoice in it instead of getting upset with God. I hope tonight that this message will find a lodging place in your heart and in your soul. You say, Brother Sam, why should I have mercy on people? Well, first of all, God has had mercy on us. I asked the question tonight, how many of y'all would like to get what you deserve? Nobody raised their hand. You know you need mercy. I need it. Now, I'm not saying that we're to just go around and put up with any and everything in this world. Obviously, we can't do that. If people are breaking into houses, they need to be caught. And they need to be carried before the law. If people are murdering somebody, they need to be carried. But God gave us the lawmen, and He gave them the right to carry a gun. I'm not talking now to just putting up with any and everything in the world. I'm talking about ordinary daily dealings with human beings. We bump into each other.
That's right.
We aggravate each other. We irritate each other. Learn to get over it. Be merciful and long-suffering. If you're keeping a list tonight of all your offenses, you have my deepest sympathy. Because you just got a recipe for unhappiness right there in your life. Paul was a jerk before God dealt with him on the Damascus Road. God had mercy on this man who had even put people to death. And I want to tell you, Paul was the one who had mercy on others. May God help us tonight. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank you for your wonderful attention.
Amen.
God bless you.